So what we did was we write letters to every contact we can, and we said, I know this guy, and I would stand my word on this guy that he is a good guy. He is not a heretic. Nobody has perfect doctrines, not including myself. But generally, if a person preach Jesus Christ, preach the word of God, loves God, wants to build Christians up, and basic doctrines are sound, let's learn from one another. Amen. And I said, basically this guy is sound. And if you want to persecute any guy, you can take anything they want and twist it and turn it, and you can find something wrong. Easily. That is why only the grace of God can sustain a person. If they twist Jesus' words, who said, in 3 days I will raise this temple up, and they took those words and they twisted it, how much more they will they take the words of his disciples today? So, in the same way, and we stood for him. And I know what it is to stand for another person. Because when you stand for another person who you know is right, but the world is turning against them, saying that they're wrong, you get their stones too. We had letters coming back telling us, why do you stand with this guy? Don't you know he's a fanatic? Don't you know he's a heretic? But you know the difference? I had sat with lunch with that person and talked with him while they have not. I know what it's like to be guilty until proven innocent. I know what it's like to not be given a chance at all. And today I say, God, if you give me a platform, and this is what you must listen carefully, if you're a new ministry coming up, remember this. Fame and popularity is something we must be a good steward of. Because when you're popular, when you're famous, what you say against somebody will mean a lot. And what you say for somebody can help a lot. So we all must be a steward of our fame and our popularity. The higher you go up in life, whether as a businessman or as a minister of God, be a good steward of your popularity. Use it to bless others, not to hinder others. We use it today to help others and bless others. And so we said, you know, so I got some letters saying, why? And I say, well, I think he's right. And after some time, this other minister friend of mine was proven right. Today his ministry still continues strong. But one thing, he found he has a friend. And we need friends in the ministry. We need friends to stand for what is right and what is wrong. A lot of people who don't dare to stand for right and wrong, but we need to stand for right and wrong. So that's what I call, you know, the second level anointing, the third level anointing that David received, and he built the people of God up. Now, in respect of that, in 2 Samuel, after David established his three anointing, and he was established by God, it moved into the primary three areas that any man of God will fall, that we need to watch all the time. As long as you're on this earth, there are only three temptations that you watch all your life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are men of God who still are falling today because of these three things. Let me remind you that no matter how close or how holy you walk with God, it takes a disciplined spiritual life to keep yourself free from these three. Because we still got to have a physical body on earth. And what happens is that people do what David did. When they are established, they start neglecting their spiritual discipline. So the rest of the book of Samuel, there are three temptations that always occur to every man or woman of God. No matter how high you are, you must always watch all your life. They can be put in many ways, but the Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You can put it whichever way you want. Now, always the tree. It deals with glory, it deals with gold, it deals with sexual relationship. Three primary areas. You got to guard all your life. David was successful in one area, in dealing with gold and fortune. He was never taken by gold or fortune. Never. He was a fantastic steward. He was a multi-millionaire. But he was a good steward of God. He kept all his gold and silver and he used it for God. No doubt he built himself fantastic things. But on an overall, he used all his wealth to prepare for God's kingdom. The Bible in the book of 1 Chronicles gives us some idea of his wealth. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, that's right. Chapter 29, verse 2. Now for the house of my God I prepared with all my might, he says, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Now David was never swayed by money or gold or silver. For that area, he conquered superbly. A lot of people today fall because of money, because of gold, because of silver. Which is wrong. Remember, those three things will cause the destruction and the fall of any ministry. Any ministry and any church. No matter how established. And including any businesses. God is not obligated to protect you if you break His covenant in these three areas. For that area, David succeeded. He overcame greed. He was not greedy for money, for gold, for fortune. He used all his personal wealth and possession as a good steward of God. But there were two other areas that he was tempted on and he fell. One of them, as we saw here, is in chapter 11, the lust of the flesh. There are a lot of ministers today who fall because they got into immorality. It doesn't start immediately. It usually grows. First you give him to lust, pornography. Then slowly he will lead you to other areas. And slowly, he begins to go forth into worse and worse areas. Do you know any person who falls sexually or immorally, they fall through their language first. In their conversation with people, they begin to go into more and more intimate things. That's their first stage. Finally, they begin to go into intimacy physically. And finally, they went all the way and fell. So we have to guard ourselves constantly against these things. And I show you, there is only one main secret to guard against all these things. I give you right at the ending. Right. I must tell you how David fell first. Chapter 11, it tells you here how David fell. And in verse 2, it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. That was a sightseeing trip he should not have taken. I don't know why they built their bathrooms outside in those days. But there's David. And he fell. And you notice the degree of his fall was gradual. So he falls suddenly on the spur of a moment. And he committed that sin, brought her over, Then he tried to cover up that sin. That is why all adulterers later become liars. All sinners end up liars to cover up the sin. That is why the devil is, the Bible called, the father of all lies. Why? He's the biggest one. The biggest sinner. Remember, all sinners become liars. And all adulterers end up liars. Sin begets lies. And from there, it builds you to worse and worse things. From covering up his sin, he began to plot and plan, and he became a murderer. King David, the man after God's heart, became first an adulterer, then a murderer. He paid a heavy price for that. And in chapter 12, when Nathan came to him, David was still outwardly living the godly life, but inwardly living a secret life. You cannot do that as a man or woman of God, or as a Christian businessman or businesswoman. You cannot. Thy sins will find you out. Remember this. Nobody escapes. Finally, your sins will be brought into the public. You must quickly repent. You sit in the midst here today, or you're hearing this word. Even though nobody sees, God has eyes that see. And sometimes he reveals in people's life too. I have times when the anointing is so strong and heavy that I see it written on the foreheads of people, adulterer. See, some of you get frightened tonight. But because I have a pastoral anointing and not just a prophet, I don't call people out and say that, right? You minister differently. It's important for us to understand that you cannot hide from God. It's clear cut. You can see it. But it leads him to different sin. And the interesting thing is this. All sinners have double standards. One standard for themselves, one standard for others. To justify their own sin. All sinners have double standards. A robber will justify his actions because, well, I'm Robin Hood. So I can do what I want, but it's wrong for him to do. But if those things are done against themselves, they will protest. But when they do it to others, it's okay. All sinners end up with double standards. The only person whom you can really have one standard are those who really chose to walk a holy life. Your inside, outside, the same. And I tell you, this is one thing, Asian church, arise. Because the Asian church have the potential to rise up at a higher level of purity than the Western church. Because of our inward built culture that has protected us to this extent. But some Asians, they go there, all become Westernized and immoral. They don't preserve the things that we have learned in our place here. We have inbuilt things in our society to protect us. We must preserve that. So David has a double standard that was rebuked by God. Finally, David repents. But judgment has fallen. And when judgment fell, it was terrible. So David fell for the lust of the flesh. His entire kingdom was nearly lost because of that. And I tell you, men and women of God, if you are building your church, the devil will try to get you to sin in the lust of the flesh. And that is one of the prime things today in the world. You see in the newspapers, in advertisements. You see in the videos. You see on the TV. You see the flesh is flown. People offering the flesh. Everything. And when you travel to Western nations, it's all over the place. All over the place.
You have to be almost like the horse that wear the blind.